Jesus is a terrible gardener. In the first of the two parables that he shares with us today, all of the first gardener's seeds grow to the point of harvest. And I am by no means an expert in cultivating crops or even gardening, but last summer, I got it into my head that I could become an urban gardener, planting cucumbers and peppers, shallots and tomatoes, strawberries and herbs, and even some corn on my balcony. It was really impressive to behold. Everything got really big. But with the exception of my cucumber crop, the yield was, it was unimpressive. But each plant that made it out to our balcony started as a seed. We planted each of them in dirt and watched them grow. Now, some of the seeds that I bought even came with a little number on them that listed their germination rate, estimates about how many of these seeds that I purchased would actually sprout. Granted, as I said, I am no expert, but I was surprised at how many seeds you had to plant to get a viable plant that would be hardy enough to put in the ground. 75-85% was an excellent rate. Planting seeds is strange. No seeds have a 100% germination rate. So we go through all of the effort to plant them and water them and fertilize them, all in the hope of a potential for them to sprout. Few make it to the point where they can produce something that can be harvested, even with the greenest of thumbs and the best care. It's a lot of work for a possibility. And then, as if Jesus' disciples are possibly staring at him with a blank expression at this point, he shifts gears and moves into an entirely different parable. Although similar, it's also about seeds and plants. So Jesus said that the mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. That is patently untrue. Anyone who has ever cooked with mustard can tell you that it's actually a relatively large seed. It's a yellowish sphere, slightly smaller than a BB. It's a giant compared to some seeds. Not even remotely the smallest seed. It wasn't even the smallest seed known to common people in Jesus' time. Just in case you're wondering, the smallest seed that we do know of today comes from an orchid. So there you have it. Jesus should have known that. Oftentimes, I get stuck here with this fact that Jesus is saying something that's wrong. Jesus was wrong about a seed. What else could he be wrong about? Then he goes on to say that this meager seed becomes the greatest of shrubs, or, depending on the translation you get, of trees. Also incorrect. When you leave them to their own devices, mustard plants will get quite large. They can get up to 10 feet tall and quite wide. But they're ugly, and they're gangly, and they very much look like a weed. They're not attractive. And in a lot of ways, they kind of are a weed. In Jesus' time, as we would consider today, no one would plant these in their garden. It's a noxious weed, and planting them in your garden would doom it. They'll choke out all the other plants. And they're very prolific, so they're nearly impossible to get rid of. I think that a good analogy for us in the Pacific Northwest is the blackberry. Now, I love blackberries, the fruit, but the bush, those are terrible. They grow everywhere. They're nearly impossible to fully eradicate. It's a pest. A pest with thorns that can grow in even the most inhospitable places. I think you would be pretty hard-pressed in this area of the world to find someone familiar with the blackberry bush to call it a great shrub. It also is not very attractive. And the same goes for mustard. Now, I can't tell you what these parables mean. Your guess is as good as mine. But they are meant for us to wrestle with. They're similar to a tradition in Buddhism called the koans. And these are sayings that are meant to foster a deeper contemplation, even a struggle, to try to find out what it's trying to say to you. The most famous example of this is, what is the sound of one hand clapping? If you've ever watched The Simpsons, it's this, but that's not the answer to the koan. We think about these sayings. We agonize over these parables and what they could mean. And it's in the process of doing this. It's a process of thinking and meditating and struggling that we begin to tap into the unknowable. Now, Jesus' disciples did have an advantage over us, though. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables. But he explained everything in private to his disciples. Got two issues here. One thing, I can't imagine how frustrating it would be to only be spoken to in parables. Could you even imagine? And second, Jesus explained his confusing words to his disciples. He told the disciples what these parables that he was telling them meant. We don't have that knowledge, but they did. Jesus told them exactly what these parables taught, that the kingdom of God was like. And guess what? With all this knowledge that Jesus explained to them, throughout the rest of the gospel, the disciples still struggle. They struggle a lot. They don't understand. They don't get things. Jesus is not an expert gardener. He gets plant facts wrong. The disciples remained confused even when Jesus explained things plainly to them. And that's again the point. Jesus isn't about making our certainties more certain, to rattle off facts for us to keep and digest. It's too easy. Jesus and God are not in the game of easy. Instead, Jesus engages us to think about things in ways that we never thought were even possible, adding in new dimensions and categories. The Northern Irish theologian and philosopher Peter Rawlins says, "This means that the darkness and dissatisfaction that make their presence felt in our lives are not finally answered by certainty and satisfaction, but are rather stripped of their weight and robbed of their sting. In this way, the new creation that arises is not out there, but it is a lived reality bubbling deep within us. The seeds are planted within us. And as we struggle with these stories, with these parables, they continue to grow and hopefully bear good fruit. In the places that Jesus invites us to, something meager like a mustard seed that is mostly just a weed can become an incredible bush providing shade and a home for many creatures. You just have to use God's imagination to get there. And Jesus calls us to a place where things grow by faith alone, and we know not how. He may not know a lot about botany, and we'll forgive him for that because he was a carpenter after all. But he sure is good at drawing us deeper into the paradoxical mystery and revelation that is God.